All right, everybody, welcome back to BWO, another exciting episode with myself, Tony, Wayne, Zeb, and Chris. All right, everybody, we have a exciting guest with us today, Chris West. He's reached out to us. It was we haven't been on here in 2 weeks, so our last episode we talked about Freemasons and everything like that. So Chris actually is one himself. He says he claims to be one. So this should be pretty fun talking with Chris and getting insight from him actually being one, because I think we kind of fired him last time. So, welcome, Chris. You know, I haven't talked to you
in a while, man.
97. The year we graduated.
Been a while.
It's been all a long time. Listener,
first time caller, man. Yeah, this is great.
Speaking of that, last night was great talking.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I've listened to every single podcast you guys got on Spotify, man. So, yep. It's been fun to hear. Been fun to listen to you guys talk about just a incredible range of topics, man. You guys hit everything across the entire spectrum. So,
yeah, that's awesome, man. That's glad to hear that we got people everywhere listening. So, yeah, I mean, let's just dive right into this. You know, like, Chris, you just go ahead. What is a Mason? What is a free, you know, we talk about the eye.
Well, yeah, I mean, you guys were talking about like some of the symbolism within Masonry. I mean, just to sort of give you the background, all Freemasonry is a fraternity. It's the world's oldest fraternity at that. But it's no different than, you know, really any other fraternity that, you know, that one would join, you know, like a fraternity, it's all men, right? I mean, if you'd have a sorority that would be all females. Although in this day and age, you know, there's everything in between males and females, it seems like. So, but it's the world's oldest fraternity. The reason it's called Freemasonry, you take the two words, free and Mason. It basically started with a bunch of Masons, a bunch of you know, block workers, right? Bricklayers for the most part, back in the Middle Ages, which is roughly the year 500 through about 1500 AD. And those men were free, right? So back in that day, you had a lot of servants, you had people had servitude, you had slaves, you had all that stuff. So these guys were free Masons, which meant they were free to travel, free to go anywhere they wanted to. And then they were Masons. They were guys that knew how to build stuff. That particular period is really known for a lot of the big cathedrals that were built. A lot of the, basically, there were big leaps in architecture during that particular period. And where do you get into the, you know, where it sort of all began with, you know, the secrets of Freemasonry is that was a trade that there are, you know, very skilled Masons that know how to do certain things that they did not want other Masons, other people to know how to do, because they of course, like any job, if you're more skilled, you get paid more money. So for instance, if you think of laying block, you know, how do you do like a block archway, like a rounded archway using brick, right? I mean, there's a lot of geometry involved in that. So these guys basically created three different levels, if you will, an entered apprentice, which is basically a guy that goes in the quarry and just slings a big sledgehammer all day long and breaks rock up. You had a fellow craft, which was like the second level. He's the guy that essentially took that block and made it basically square, you know, say 85-90% into a block. And then you had a master mason who smoothed that block out. Every corner would be perfect. The angles would be perfect. So whatever edifice they were building could thus be perfectly built. So that's where you get sort of Freemasonry from. Now, the difference between those guys back in that day and these guys, you know, here today, where they were building a physical structure, a physical building. Masons today look at ourselves, look at our hands and our bodies as our physical structure, as our structure that we want to improve, that we want to be perfect. So Freemasonry is really about, as the saying goes, making good men great or good men better. It's just a fraternity of men. They want to improve themselves. They want to be better husbands. They want to be better dads. They want to be better friends. They come from all walks of life, every economic scale, every color, every country, every sect, every opinion that brings these sort of guys together in you know, quote unquote, a brotherhood. You know, sort of like what, you know, sort of like what you guys have here, just on a much grander, more global scale, with a good bit of cool history to go with it as well. So.
I got a couple questions. I know you do.
Yeah, my first question is like,
that's all right.
Technical difficulties right over here.
My main question is like, because we know that you guys get a lot of people that are a part of the fraternity, but you guys are more of like a nonprofit organization that, you know, receive a lot of donated money. What I want to know is like, where does it go?
So, yes.
Like, are you building things with them?
Well, so I don't know of any donations that we receive that come from other than guys that are in the fraternity. Right. So I mean, no different than any other. Well, I guess very different in that sense from other nonprofits. I mean, other nonprofits, you know, like in Winchester, you had the chain of checks, right? You know, 92.5 would get somebody $10,000. Well, a Masonic Lodge has never gotten, I don't think any kind of public dollars before, or even anything that necessarily is tied to sort of a public fundraiser, if you will. That said, we do our own fundraisers. I mean, gosh, man, you'll see these guys, you know, cooking barbecue and doing barbecue dinners, spaghetti dinners, you know, car washes, you know, all the stuff that pretty much every other nonprofit goes out there and tries to scrape two pennies to rub together for. For us, I mean, I think nationally, at least here in the U.S., there are a couple very specific charities that we have. So you have Masonry, which is sort of your core group, and then you have two kind of subsects of Masonry. So you have what's called York Rite and what's called Scottish Rite. So the York Rite of Freemasonry takes a more biblical sort of approach. So Masonry as a whole, that in general, looks at the Bible only as a historical document, not as a religious document, just as a history book, right? So sort of forget everything about really God and religion as it applies, but look at it more as a history book, no different than you would have in any history class. York Rite in Freemasonry spins the religion into it. And then the Scottish Rite takes a more, not necessarily biblical position, but more, again, of a historical position, but really kind of a European, more European. I mean, again, remember, our country's not very old when you think about the guys over there in Europe. So it takes sort of a more European angle to it. So the reason I'm sharing that with you, on the Scottish Rite side, their big charity is the Shriners Hospitals. So if you've the Shriners Hospitals for Children, these are hospitals throughout the entire United States that any child anywhere in the country with any affliction can go to that hospital and not be charged a single dime for whatever it is that they need. And it can be something simple. It can be something extremely complex, like battling leukemia as a child. They do not bill the parents a single penny. If you're talking about specific lodges, you know, I know Bikes for Books is a big one that a lot of lodges do. We'll go out, we'll buy bicycles. We will go partner with an elementary school, typically an elementary school, like a Title I school, you know, a school where kids are predominantly on free lunch, you know, or reduced lunch. A lot of those kids also get free breakfast. A lot of them also get a bag lunch to take home with them for dinner. So you're talking, you know, kids that are pretty much struggling with their home life. We encourage them to read a book. If they read a book, give a book report, we buy them a brand new bike. And we do that in a number of different schools. So that's something a lot of lodges do. We have scholarship programs, like pretty much, you know, whether you're talking about your, you know, Rotary Club or your Moose Lodge or Eagles Lodge, they all do scholarships. We do scholarships like that as well. My particular lodge, we donated all the landscaping to an elementary school. Again, it was like an inner city school. you go to that school, you didn't see any living plants like out on the playground. You didn't see any bushes. You didn't see any flowers, right? And it was just like all concrete. So we went and we found a landscaping company, one of the brothers in our lodge. He donated a bunch of, first we went in and put an entire irrigation system, number one, so that the plants we would plant wouldn't die. But then we went, you know, we beautified that school. I mean, that school was just, it looked like a prison almost. It was just nothing but concrete sort of everywhere you look. So, and that, you know, that helps. That certainly like uplifts the students a little bit more, gives them a little bit more pride, you know, in their school. We've built art rooms at elementary schools as well. You know, you see like with funding right now, typically the arts are one of the first things to start getting cut in a lot of these schools. So we've gone in on our own dime and bought art supplies for schools, redone art rooms for schools, and then provided, again, students of various art supplies. So it kind of differs lodge to lodge. You know, really, that lodge will have a direct connection with its community. So in Winchester, I'm not familiar with exactly what those guys do. It's probably very similar. When you get into the money of it, I mean, I'll tell you where the money of it in Freemasonry comes from. You know, you've got lodges in the United States that have been here before it was the United States. So the lodge in Winchester, for example, started around, I believe, the 1740s, 1750s. So if you're talking about compounding interest, you know, if you have any investment knowledge at all, you start compounding interest in money that you're raising 200 years ago, right? That $50 donation is going to be $50,000 in 2021, right? And when you've got a bunch of guys who 200 years ago were donating money into a fund, you know, that money is going to grow astronomically over a 200-year period, right? I mean, we only get to, you know, invest for 20 or 30 years of our own lives for our own retirements. We'll multiply that by 10. So you see a lot of the older lodges do have a lot of money. That's why they typically have a pretty daggone nice building as well. But keep in mind that building's probably been there for 100 years. So, you know, they bought that property when it was a heck of a lot cheaper than it is. You know, if you go downtown anywhere now, you know, it's almost too expensive for anywhere to live. So that's where a lot of the money comes from. But it is a nonprofit. It is absolutely a charitable organization. That is every bit the goal of each member. And that is also how we, again, improve ourselves. I mean, one of the things we talk about in Freemasonry is charity. And in a sense that, you know, there's a lot of lessons, timeless lessons that Freemasonry teaches you. One of them is that charity extends beyond the grave. You know, so you can have all these worldly possessions and live this great life and be this awesome person while you're alive. But when you die, no one's going to know who the heck you were or what you did, et cetera. But if through charitable gifts, through donating your time, donating your money, your name lives on. People will remember you, remember those gifts. So charity is absolutely sort of a big, Masonry is a big proponent of charity. And it's, again, one of the bigger lessons that are taught through allegory and through symbolism, which I know that's what you guys are getting in during the last episode, looking at the dollar bill and the all-seeing eye. And those are symbols. So it's a lot of timeless lessons that again have been taught. It's just, I'm learning the same things guys were learning back in the 1500s. You know, obviously it's like the telephone game. It changes a little bit, right, as the years go by. But a lot of those lessons are taught through symbolism. You know, you all talked about the all-seeing eye, and I think one of you all nailed it too. I mean, it's essentially God's eye or you know, Big Brother's always watching.
Hey, that was Zeb. Was that you?
Yeah, and what that gets at is you know, just understanding like how you act. You know, while, you know, we all sort of act a certain way in front of certain people. But what we should be upright. We should be good, moral individuals, regardless of where we are, regardless of who we're in front of, regardless what the audience is, or regardless if there isn't even an audience, right? And that's what that all-seeing eye, that lesson there is, that someone is sort of always watching. And it may not be, you know, a person. It may be a God. And when I say a God, any God. So Masonry is not a Christian thing. It's not a Catholic thing. It's not a Buddhist thing. It's any religion, every religion. So if you walk into a Masonic lodge, you may see a Bible next to a Torah, you know, next to another. I mean, any religion, anyone can join. As a matter of fact, there's only two criteria to be a Freemason. One is that you're a man. And second, that you believe in a higher power. Doesn't have to be God. Again, it can be Buddha. I mean, it can be the Easter Bunny. You know, it can essentially be whomever. The reason for that is, is you take an obligation. And, you know, if you don't think that there is some consequence to your actions, and I don't mean like, you know, you do something bad to me and I'm going to get my revenge. I mean bigger, right? I mean, again, if there isn't some consequence to you, you know, telling a lie, or to you, you know, doing wrong to someone, or to you, you know, maybe doing a business transaction and being untruthful. And if you don't think there's a bigger consequence, and I mean like bigger, like, you know, if I'm a Christian, you know, I'm going to go to hell, right? That's big, my big consequence, right? If you don't have, and pick whatever religion or however you want to live it, you know, whatever you want to believe in does not matter, but that you believe that there is some consequence to your words and actions. That's all it's getting at. Now, if you take an obligation and you don't believe in anything, then, you know, you can go out and murder 15 people and you don't care because you don't think there's any ramification, there's any repercussion for that. So those are the only two criteria. You got to be a man, got to believe in something, some sort of higher power, even aliens, right? ET, something.
Yeah. Yep. There you go. I mean, it sounds like Masons to me, but they're conservatives.
No, you know, so
I guess, is that right?
Yeah. No, absolutely not. I would say,
Chris is like, no,
there are kind of two unspoken rules within lodges. And those, no politics, no religion. You got it, because, you know, those things, you know, especially more today than probably ever, divide people. You know, it's become emotional. You can't have a regular conversation with someone. It seems like you can have a regular conversation, but you certainly can't disagree anymore, it feels like. You know, and Facebook and all this social media and you know, you guys have even talked about it.
Yeah.
You know, cable news. I mean, it just creates these echo chambers where all you're hearing is reinforced what you believe, and you're not hearing anyone else's opinion. And that's absolutely one of the barriers that, you know, a lodge typically tries to break down. We want to hear different opinions. We want to hear different perspectives. We want people from all walks of life, you know, not just one particular religion or one particular, you know, we don't want just Masons, right? You know, or just lawyers or you know, or whatever it might be. And that's what we think makes each individual lodge stronger, is the more diverse it can be, the stronger that particular group of men is going to be, because we all learn from each other. You know, a lot of experiences we go through in life are similar, but we have different perspectives. We all have different backgrounds. We have different approaches, different experiences that can then help each other. And that's what we're there for. It really is a brotherhood, you know, to help guys that are going through, you know, maybe something bad in their life, or maybe celebrate something great in their life. And you want to see everybody do well. You know, but it's interesting. If you look at the history of it, so if you look like right now, about 2 million Freemasons in the United States, there were about 6 million. And the height of Freemasonry was right after World War II. And if you look at each of the major wars, Masonry, the number of Masons really sort of goes up. And the reason that is you have men who are fighting side by side with other men. And there is a camaraderie there. There is a bond there. There is an experience there that only those men had. And when they came back from war, they didn't have that. They couldn't find that anymore, right? Their units all go a different way. They all go back to their families. All of a sudden, they got to go back to the 9-to-5 job, and they missed that brotherhood that they found in the military. So if you look at the end of, you know, World War I, you look at the end of World War II, you'll see, you know, Winchester has Winchester's Lodge. I mean, you guys are sitting on a gold mine in Winchester. It's the third oldest lodge in the United States. They have a great story there. During the Civil War, as you guys know, Winchester changed hands a bunch of times, right? The South controlled it, the North controlled it, South controlled it, et cetera. That particular lodge did not meet. And it's just like a lot of things in Winchester during, as the war was raging on, you know, businesses weren't open, right? I mean, you got guys that are shooting each other in the streets and cannon fire, you know, going all over the place. I mean, obviously, you know, people closed their business. Well, that particular lodge in Winchester was there, the exact same lodge. And that lodge did not meet because the war was going on. There was one night where soldiers from both the North and the South, Freemasons, met at that Winchester Lodge together. They put down their guns, they put their differences aside, and met at that particular lodge. And I think I think initiated like 30 or 40 or 50, might have been more than that, new guys into the fraternity. And you see a lot of stories during the Civil War about, you know, a Southern soldier dying or needing water and a Northern soldier, you know, recognizing him as to be a Mason and helping him, or vice versa, in situations like that. So Winchester has some really, really cool stories. That particular lodge, it's open to the public. You guys can cruise in there whenever you want. They've got an incredible museum in there. The original, the walls are painted all original from the 18th century, so 1700s. It's just unlike any other lodge. I've been to 50 lodges in probably 15 states. The one in Winchester is by far the most incredible lodge. You can go, as a matter of fact, they cannot even insure that building. It is priceless. They went to the, who was it that insured J-Lo's butt for like $1 million? Like Sotheby's or somebody? They went to that same, or Lloyd's of London. Was it Lloyd's of London? One of those, right? They went to the same company, and that same company would not write an insurance policy for that lodge because it's irreplaceable. It cannot be replaced. There's no value. It is absolutely priceless what they have in that lodge. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Jeez, that's crazy.
Not in Winchester. He was initiated, passed, and raised. So those are sort of the three terms that are used for the three different levels. You bring someone in, you initiate them in Fredericksburg Lodge. So that said, you know, as we obviously learned growing up in Winchester, Washington spent a lot of time in his younger years surveying Winchester, right? So he was definitely in the area quite a bit. I do not think there is any record, though the guys there would definitely know of him visiting that lodge, but he was in Fredericksburg Lodge. I do know that President William McKinley was initiated, passed, and raised in Winchester's lodge. So in that actual lodge, President McKinley, there's actually a little plaque there. They have the chair of the master. We wear aprons, right? Little funny aprons, you know, when we wear those. So, you know, those aprons also have meaning. The way in which you wear that particular apron lets someone know if you're a brand new initiate or if you're a master mason or if you're a fellow craft. That's why we wear the apron. But McKinley was there. They have McKinley's apron in that museum, which is really cool. And that thing's got to be, I think he was like 1870 or something like that. So he figured 250, 260, 270 years old. Well, what other questions do you guys have? I feel like I'm eating up all the time.
Yeah, but, well, no, I mean, that's fine, man. You're just explaining all and telling it all. But I mean, to me, it seems like, because like I say, they broke this shit up, the Freemason. I'm like, Freemason? I ain't never heard of this shit. You know, like, but anyway, like, it sounds to me like it's a group to get away from, like you've said, Chris. But what's funny to me is, you know, there's all these politicians over there. You gave an example of the war, like North and South. They, you know, they're fighting each other, but it's like people like to get away from the bullshit. Like, and, you know, they don't discuss politics and this and that. That's what I'm getting from it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, hey, basically, like you say, it's a fraternity. Let's chill and let's not talk politics. Like you say, politics, we start arguing. We talk religion, we start arguing. Yeah. You know, it's like, yeah. So, but on the other hand, you know, people got to do what they got to do in real life. Like, you got to.
Yeah, man. That's sad, but true. Bullshit, sad, but true.
You know, but still, you're a seat.
Yeah, I mean, I tell the running joke when folks ask me, what do you do? So in our meetings, you have to be a.
That's what I was going to get at. It's like, what
we pay,
what do
I tell folks? The big secret is we pay our bills.
Stuff like
We pay pay the rent, we pay the water bill, we pay the electric bill. You know, it's no different than, you know, any other organization where you have a membership. You know, again, like a Rotary Club or an Eagles Club or Optimist Club or heck, you know, think about, you know, some of the groups, you know, DECA, like, you know, some of the things that we had in high school. If you're a member of it, you get to vote. And that's really the only thing that makes it. You know, a secret, like, if you will. I mean, hell, man, with the internet, you can Google anything on Freemasonry. It'll probably pop up on the History Channel, which that shit is so sensationalized. You know, you can Google anything now. Yeah, we got secret handshakes. They're not secrets when they're all over the internet, right? You can look them up. Secret passwords. I mean, just Google Masonic secret passwords. They'll pop right up, man. So, I mean, you know, if we're if we are a secret society, we do a really shitty job of keeping those secrets, no doubt. But you know, there's things like, I mean, no different than, you know, fraternity or anything else. You know, oh, to be initiated, you know, you got to have sex with a goat, you know, or something like that. I mean, none of that stuff's true, man. None of that stuff. I mean, we'll play up that stuff. You know, a guy.
Now I'm in if we're, you know, doing we're, that. No, I'm
just, you know, I mean, none of that stuff's true, everybody. You know, or, you know, you've sacrificed virgins, you know, or anything like that. None of that stuff, man. That stuff's so wild and crazy. No, it is nothing like that at all. So in the meetings, again, guys, all we do is we plan our fundraisers, plan our community outreach, pay our bills, and that's it. You know, adjourn and all go grab a beer at the pub, you know, I mean, afterwards, that's pretty much all.
So you're just, so basically Google frat boys.
You know, I would say a lot of the fraternities actually have their roots in, you know, taking some things from Freemasons. I mean, obviously, again, Freemasons is the oldest. So, you know, one of the, what do they say, you know, flattery or emulation, you know, is, you know, what you do, you know, the best form of flattery. So, I mean, a lot of the stuff that you see just your regular college fraternities do, you know, is a lot of that's taken from Freemasonry. So, I mean, there are things, you know, sort of, you know, all throughout, you know, that you do really in your, you know, daily life, you know, you don't give much thought to, and those are the things, you know, that you learn in Freemasonry. Well, I'll give you an example. You know, you say the Pledge of Allegiance, which hand do you put over your heart? Your right hand, right? You got a 50-50 chance.
I was like, hold on, is this a trick question? Like, everybody pause.
You got a 50-50 chance, man. You only have two hands.
yeah. We all just sat here and looked at each other like, is he
I paused that for an answer.
When you shake hands with someone, I mean, have you ever shook hands with someone and shook hands with your left hand? It's always your right hand. Always your right hand. Why do you always use your right hand? Yeah, you ever think, like, why when you testify, right? Which hand do you put in the air? Which hand do you put on the Bible, right? You know, you think, like, you make use of your right hand in sort of all of these important sort of things. You know, if you handshake like a deal, you're saying the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, again, if you're swearing, you know, your oath on a Bible, you know, why the right hand, right? And the reason that is there was a Greek goddess, her name was Phides, and her she was basically represented by two people holding each other by the right hand, or two right hands basically shaking for the most part. And that goes back, you know, before Rome. And you know, really, you're talking before, like, the, you know, the 500s even. You're also, you shit, you're almost going back almost to the BC AD flip. That, you know, that's a particular god, right? And that particular god was, you know, basically just truth, was signified by the right hand. And that's why you see the right hand used in sort of all those things where you're sort of pledging an allegiance or pledging your word or your honor or your name or sealing a deal, et cetera. You use that right hand. So, I mean, there's like endless lessons similar to that. You know, again, things you do in your sort of everyday life that you don't give much thought to because it's just always the way that it's sort of been done. But there's actually a real reason as to why you do it that particular way. And those are sort of those timeless lessons that Freemasonry teaches you. If you have any interest in history, man, Freemasonry is, you know, as you can see with the picture of Abe Lincoln, you know, above me, I was a history buff even before joining a lodge. And if you're a history buff, I mean, it really is something that that you'll find a lot of interest in and enjoyment in, no doubt.
Yeah. All right. So, Zeb, you got any questions?
So the pyramid with the eye, that's a Masonic symbol.
So the all-seeing eye is, I'm not sure about the pyramid itself. So the pyramid has nothing that I know to do with Freemasonry at all. The all-seeing eye is really kind of a universal symbol. I mean, it is a Masonic symbol, don't get me wrong. But it was a symbol, I think, even before Freemasonry. And again, it gets back to, I think one of you all explained it, I think it's that simple. You know, it's like God's eye or Big Brother. I mean, again, like, someone is always watching, you know, so, you know, I guess, why is it on the actual dollar? I have no idea why that particular item is on the dollar itself. Maybe it is to, again, you know, if you're doing some sort of fraudulent activity, you know, it's there as a reminder that, hey, somebody's always watching, you know, somebody's always looking, you know, looking over their shoulder, or you know, somehow, some way, somebody's going to find something out. So maybe it's supposed to just sort of keep you, you know, square and moral and just, and, you know, and truthful in whatever dealings you have with that particular dollar bill. I'm not sure why it's, you know, In God We Trust, you know, is also on there. I'm not sure why that was thrown on there either. I mean, obviously the founding fathers were very religious and I guess, you know, wanted that on there. Washington, as someone mentioned, you know, he's on, again, he's just a president, but, you know, he was also a Mason. Benjamin Franklin was a Mason as well. He wasn't a president, but he's on there. I don't think Abe Lincoln was not a president. Andrew Jackson, or I'm sorry, a Mason. Andrew Jackson, he's not a Mason as far as I know. There are a ton of famous Masons. I mean, both in history and currently. Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq's a Mason. Yeah, man. Yeah, what? Shaq's amazing.
Are you serious?
He's one of the more notable. I'm trying to think of. Daggone here. Every astronaut has been a Mason for some odd reason. I'm not sure what the connection is there either. But yeah, there's a lot of famous Masons.
Well, money talks.
I mean, you guys are getting into me. Freemasonry also. I mean, I'll just state, because I know it came up during y'all's last show. I know of no connection to the Illuminati, man. You guys were going off on Illuminati, dude. I was sitting there. I'm sitting there listening to you guys, and I'm trying to think, like, man, who do I think is in the Illuminati? I think somebody mentioned Bill Gates. You know, I'm thinking like Jeff Bezos, right, the Amazon guy. I thought James. I do not, man. I thought
Come on,
Jay-Z,
Chris, you know.
Aren't Jay-Z and Beyonce Illuminati? I imagine, I guess when I think of the Illuminati, I think of the people who just have like more money than they know what to do with, you know?
Tax brackets.
Yeah, tax brackets. You're right.
You said it.
Yeah. You said it, Chris. You're right. You said it.
Once you hit a certain tax bracket, then you're part of it, whether you believe it or not, you are.
Wait.
No. I wasn't saying that he was, they missed my whole point, Chris did. I wasn't saying he was physically a part of it. But once you hit a certain tax bracket, man, like, you know, you get
I think once you hit a certain tax bracket, that tax bracket goes away, doesn't it? And then how they operate? I mean, these guys get so rich they don't even pay taxes anymore.
Well, it slightly goes away. Yeah, exactly. It slightly goes away, but it's part of like money that goes into like an organization, somewhat of what you're explaining, you know, like they have their own secret society organization.
Yeah, they're doing like eyes wide shut organization,
like Masons do. But I'm not trying to say that they are like Freemasons, you know, like they're doing some foul stuff.
Well, mention
so I mean, it goes the list goes on of what higher up people do. I mean, we all know that they get away with murder, they get away with everything. So like, no, everybody's not, you know, Illuminati. But once you hit that certain tax bracket, like your money goes in certain places.
I think Epstein was in that, right? He had been. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, that's why he got eliminated, because he was about to, you know, break the seal. And you can't break the seal because it's more like a promissory thing of what you just said, like shaking a right hand. He had that right hand shake, but he was about to break a promise. So, you know, and look what happened to him. So we don't know truthfully what really happened to him, but
somebody's going to find out exactly what happened
between the lines.
And for the record,
I seriously doubt it. But he was definitely a con man of like swindling money out of people, you know.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah, Bill Clinton wasn't amazing. He's a bad guy. I know that. He was in D-Malay. D-Malay is like a high school club for the most part. I say like high school / college type club for kids that want, it's kind of like a feeder system, if you will, for Masons, but they're not Masons. But he was never a Mason. So I don't think the Bushes were Masons.
Yeah.
So he was a...
I'll tell you, most guys that come in that join our lodge, that join any lodge, they come in and they have a grandfather that was a Mason. You almost never hear anyone our age that had a father that was a Mason. It's as if it skipped over, entire generation. Really, a lot of the guys that came back from Vietnam joined, as I was mentioning, right, that correlation to guys coming back from war. You got a lot of Vietnam veterans of course, those guys are now in their, 70s, 80s, right? And like all organizations, I think right now, especially civic organizations, Masonry has an age problem right now as well. I mean, the majority of guys in these lodges are 65 plus years old. You do not have a lot of young guys. And I say young, meaning 50s, 40s, 30s. I don't mean 21-year-olds or anything. I mean, you sure as hell don't have that group coming in. But you're seeing, the numbers are shrinking drastically. And again, no different than any of the other clubs.
No, could that be because of what you guys pledge? Like, do you guys have a certain pledge? Like, did you have to actually physically shake a hand?
Nope.
On something that they pledged to
you? No, man.
Initiate?
No.
I mean, you take an obligation. Initiation.
It was just more like, I'm a volunteer and I want to be a Freemason.
So for me, I had a couple of friends that have been Masons before. So one of the things that Freemasons don't do is we don't recruit. So you'll never see a billboard. You'll never hear an ad on the radio. You'll never see anything out there classified ad, we're having a membership drive, come on out this Saturday from 1 to 3. You'll never see anything like that at all. And that's really part of the core, especially in the very beginning of Freemasonry. It's on your own free will and accord. And that saying, on your own free will and accord, is pretty important throughout Masonry. I mean, it's the ultimate, you get in what you put out of it. And you need to do things on your own volition. We don't want to drag you in. We don't want to have to, convince you to come in. We don't want to have to bribe you to come in. Hey, if you're interested, walk in, see what it's all about. You walk in, go to a meeting or two or three, get to know the guys that are in that lodge, and then just say, hey, can I get an application? They're not even allowed to hand you an application without you asking for the application, right? Because again, it's on your own free will and accord. If you want to join, bad enough, you'll ask like, hey, how do I join? Is there an application? But, well, yes, there is an application. Here you go. But we're not just going to throw one at you when you walk in the door. You walk and you fill out the application. Most lodges have a yearly dues. It falls anywhere between $75 and $150 a year. You meet at least once a month, so you figure like $10 a month, pretty much on average. And then you get voted in, and you need to be voted in by the guys in that lodge. And we talk about how when you turn in that application, there'll be three guys that will be assigned as an investigative committee. On that application, we ask you things like, have you ever had a felony before? Do you want to overthrow the government? Wild stuff like that. Not to mention, where you live, and you don't have to have a job or anything like that. But we want to know a little bit about you. You want to get to know a little bit about them. And then that application will be read, and guys will come in and vote to have you in. And it's really that simple for the most part. I've been in Masonry for 7 years. I've probably voted on 50 guys. I've never voted against a guy, and I've never seen a guy get voted against. And all it takes is one vote against and you don't get in. So, you got some lodges that have 30, 40, 50 guys. You have other lodges that have 600, 700, 800, 1,000 members, just one vote and you don't get in. It is a very rare case. Guy's a child molester, he got a DUI or something, that shit. Half the guys probably in there have those, right? So, that's not a big deal. But if you're just spent 25 years in jail for murder, Yeah, if you just spent, you know, two decades in jail for murder, you know, you might have a little bit of a problem getting in there, you know. But other than that, I mean, again, I've never seen it firsthand, a person not get voted in who's applied. So, you know, that said, I will tell you, I've seen, oh my God, probably 200 times, you know, guys that join, guys that, you know, get initiated, and they're like, you know what, this isn't. Again, it's built up to be so big, right? They think there's all these secrets, and, you know, we're going to tell them where there's this cave with a bunch of gold hidden in it, you know, and it just isn't like that at all. And they kind of get in there and they're like, oh, this is just like a men's club. It's like a gentleman's club. It's like a, you know, a fraternity. And you're like, well, yeah, that's what we told you it was, you know, like there isn't anything special about it. And then, you know, they're a little bit disappointed, and, you know, those guys kind of just, you know, drift off, and, you know, maybe you don't see them after 6 months or something like that. I've seen that happen. Oh my God, man. I mean, a ton of time, which sucks, you know, because again, as I talked about, you know, membership is dwindling, you know, in the fraternity. So, you know, we do everything to get those guys involved, you know, put them on committees, you know, get them involved in the charitable work and the community work, and the fundraising work. You know, we try to make them feel like a part of that lodge, but, you know, it just isn't, again, that excitement that the History Channel built it up to be, you know, when they watch it. Or, you know, with the Tom Hanks movies, you know, Gods and Demons and all these others. I mean, it just isn't, you know, there isn't, you know, anything, you know, we don't have the, you know, the Ark of the Covenant or anything like that, you know, like stowed away in a closet someplace, or the Holy Grail or anything like that.
Damn. So when we go on this tour, no, we're not going to see anything. Like
you're
going to
be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed.
Well, we're still going to be.
Hey, man, let me know when you find it. Yeah. Throw it on email.
So, yeah. Yeah. So I got to call Chris Tucker. What was I calling him? Easy C. Because Mr. West was calling and said, you sound like Easy E. So, Chris, you got anything to say, man? You've been awfully quiet. You want to be initiated? You want an application for downtown, the lodge down there?
It's wild to see your old faces. Chris Tucker does. I texted Clarence Smith. I was like, who's Chris Tucker? Who is this guy? What grade was he in? Like, how do I know this guy? Like, how did he go to Hanley? What's the connection? I said to Clarence, like, he sounds like Easy E to me. And what's crazy too is Zeb, you sound exactly like my stepbrother, Colby Slaughter. I mean, your voices are absolutely indistinguishable. from each other. So anyway, man, yeah, it's been fun. Certainly listening to you guys. I will say I'm a bit upset that Dwayne has not given me a proper props for all the basketball that I taught him back in eighth grade. I feel, you know, there's a little bit of a responsibility I have, you know, to the community, that I was able to train and coach such a great player like Dwayne, and teach him everything he knows around the hoop. So. Yeah.
You hear this, Wade?
No, that's his way of like thanking me for, you know, coming around this area right. and making him a better player. But it's cool. But right, I get it. Right. You're older, so I understand why you came that way, in that direction. But
yeah, no, but Chris,
nah, I'm messing with you, man.
Yeah, but I love it though. I talked with Chris last night.
Chris, you were all right, man.
And he did. He talked about Chris. You're Tucker. I might have to say Tucker because we got two Chris's here. Yeah. His Pay It Forward event and West asked about, you know, what that was all about. That's what he's basically talking about. Yeah. All the legends and everything. He's like, that shit's awesome.
Yeah.
And blah, 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 you know, and like Chris and me were talking about, like, the local people don't think about. Even Chris said, you, Chris Boone,
yeah, right.
And who were you said, like, Stephmont played at Frederick Douglass. And right. They don't realize how they impacted us. And even Chris, I was they even impacted Chris.
Yeah. Right.
So, Tucker, you did a great thing, and Chris West even is saying that because those guys influenced him growing up too.
Right.
Yeah. So,
and you know, he left a lot of legends off of there, but it was such.
It'd be so many people.
We try to put like a 6 month thing into like 2 months. So, like, yeah, if we left someone off, we're sorry, but we will make sure to get at you on the next one. Like, there was a lot of people that, you know, reached out to us and like, well, you forgot a few names, but. You know, it is what it is.
I have no idea what he's talking about. I really just set this up to raise money for the Evans home in the North End. and reached out to people like Lang and Chris Boone and Ben Kane that I knew I was cool with. Didn't realize so many other people would be like, oh, I want to be a part of this and that, which is cool. Mm-hmm. They can get on board later down the road. But I didn't forget not a single legend
that you
I
saw.
Just didn't include. Right. I didn't include anybody except unless I spoke to them directly or through a close friend and made sure, you know, that they would be a part of it. But I didn't forget anybody. So, you know, well, no hard feelings.
You gotta.
It was all for me just to raise money. And it's called Pay It Forward because I grew up in the Evans Home in the North End, and those communities in the Evans Home for Children made my life way better. And I wanted to give back as I got to a certain age. My first love was basketball.
Right.
So I wanted to do that. Wayne was really good, but let's be honest, he's washed up now, just like the rest of us. And that's just what it is.
Well, we can go around the arc.
He didn't want to get on the court for 20 bucks.
I'm not washed up in that area, but continue.
He didn't want to get on the court because he had an opportunity last week to play, and he didn't want to get on the court. And there were guys 20 years older than Wayne out there playing, and he still didn't want to get on the court. So I'll just keep it real. He's washed up. It is what it is.
I've got bills and other stuff, you know. So
my wife was out there.
Everybody Aflac
is not paying my bills. So you can continue talking, though.
Hold on. Here's one thing. Because so many people make excuses. We do what we want in life. When you're at the event last week, Chris Boone and Clarence Morgan and L.A. Anderson, those guys are playing. There's no reason that you could be like, oh, I got bills to pay. So do all the rest of those guys and the young lady that I played, which is Tony's wife. They have bills, too. That's not an excuse. Get out there and run if you think you got it.
Well, we know you created this whole charity thing, but you should have been out there, too, then, if you were talking in my direction, because you were –
Chris West.
Don't throw me out there under the bus.
I didn't receive a plaque. You see how Wayne doesn't know how to be quiet? I didn't receive
a plaque. No, because you acknowledged us.
I'm not a legend. I'm not a legend. I'm not on their level. And that's just the truth matter. I didn't break records. I wasn't out there crushing the competition. I just played because I loved the game and had fun. But those guys and young ladies that were honored, most of them have all done immaculate things in the sporting world of basketball. I wanted to show them some love and show them my appreciation, Winchester's appreciation, the Shenandoah Valley's appreciation. But the people like Wayne or whoever, be like, oh, I could have been out there. When you create something, that doesn't mean that you need to be involved because it wasn't about me. So even last week, I didn't speak on the mic until the very end, and I didn't want it to be about me at all. I wanted it to be about the legends. And so people are like, oh, why aren't you speaking? Because for two reasons, I wanted it to be all about the legends. Mm-hmm. And I know that I would have got emotional and broke down because of being able to pull that off. You know what I mean? But the truth is, yeah, I'm definitely not a legend at all. But I did look up to people. Like I made a post this morning about Dwayne, Jerome, and Robert. And I'm like, yeah, I looked up to those guys a lot. And it was great to be able to honor them. But I'm nowhere near on the level of a Mike Crawford, a Chris Boone, and a Lang Campbell.
I respect that, and I respect look at me as an athlete, but, you know, next one you throw, I will promise you I will play in that thing.
Well, you better start getting
it. It's almost like some type of thing, like when you walk away from the sport, you got to get your body right. Look, if I would have got out there, I would embarrass myself, you know, so I'm going to come correct. So the next one you have, you know, I'm going to help you, you know, get everything together, and I'm going to be a player.
And let me say,
just since you want to call me out like that.
Well, you and Nikki better start working out.
I don't need to work out. I just got to get my cardio.
Let me say to Chris Tucker, if you do that again, please let me know. I would like to donate to your next event as well, man. I think that is an incredible thing that you put together. That is a great gift that you pull. I heard it was over $4,000 or something, man. That's incredible for you to do. So I will absolutely donate to the next event that you hold, man. Get my contact information from Tony and let me know. I think that's great what you did.
That's what's up.
No, I appreciate it, man.
That's awesome.
And I'm going to keep doing it every summer for Hoops Hope. Because that's my love and everybody wants to, but I also plan on doing it for baseball and softball, for football, for soccer, because I don't think just because basketball is my favorite sport, those are the only athletes that should be honored and remembered. So all of the people from the Stuart Baroffs to the Jonathan Earnhardts and all these other people that have came through, you know, Leo Donalds and Eric Paytons, they all deserve to be shown and given their flowers while we're still here. And they were great. And that's what I plan on doing, too. It's going to be a little more work because, you know, I don't have as many ties with some of those athletes at other schools in our valley. But That's what I want to do because I think everybody deserves it, man. Wrestlers, golfers, all of them.
Yep.
You're right. Right.
Yep. It was, man. It was a special event, so we had to bring that up. I mean, yeah, everybody loved it, Chris, and it got around. See, all the way out to Dallas, where Chris is at now.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I appreciate that. But, guys, I guess we'll close it up. I mean, Chris, you got anybody got any more questions for Mr. West here about the Masons?
Yeah, I'll let Tony know. I'm up in Winchester like two or three times, typically each month. When I've got like an extra evening or something, I'll let Tony know, man. You guys are more than welcome. I think Chris, you're up in Brooklyn maybe, right? But you guys that are in Winchester, I'll arrange it. You guys, I'll give you a quick little tour if you want to meet downtown on the old Loudoun Street Mall and give you all a tour of that Masonic Lodge, man. Y'all can go in there and check it out. So it's pretty wild inside.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
History was always my favorite subject in school. History and English. I couldn't stand science and math. But
yeah.
I definitely love learning about history. I love learning about history and things that I don't know. I love speaking to elderly people because they've been there. They've seen way more things than I've seen. So that's why I think the biggest thing when people are like, respect your elders. I think that's the biggest reason. I love being around older people. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean they're always right. But anything I think I know or have seen, trust me, they've seen it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I was like, well, I want to hear from them. And I love listening and talking to older people and historians. So even when Tony's like, oh, I'm being quiet. But that's because I'm learning things that I didn't know. And I don't want to act like I know everything.
Right.
I would have been honest. I would have been like, well, I know Freemasons, they worship money. You know what I mean?
Hey, Chris.
And the same with Illuminati. So I would believe Jay-Z and Beyonce and Rihanna
and Kanye West.
They are all in the Illuminati. They worship money. And they worship money. So there's a reason, like there's a million rappers around here and they're not going to make it famous. Not knocking them. Some of them are really good,
right.
But everybody thinks they can rap these days. You're not going to be Kurt Cobain or Tupac until you, so-called sell your soul, you reach that level and you're an Illuminati.
There you go.
But I don't know all the answers. That's just my beliefs and what I've done research on. But you know what I mean? I'd rather listen at least from Freemason stuff from somebody like you on the inside that would know and can tell the rest of us, like, look, you guys can shut up because it's not what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, those are two different
things.
So
it's cool. I enjoy learning. I'll be honest, man. I enjoy learning. We're brothers with opinions and we love to share our opinions, but we don't know all the answers. We don't even know 5% of the answers, but we love
to. Yeah, but I'll tell you, man, I mean, someone like you, who's already doing good in your community would be a welcomed addition to any lodge, man. You're the type of guys that we're looking for, you know, and younger guys that have that sense of giving back. And that's really what it's about, man. It's about giving back. And it's just great, man. You're already forming your own little lodge, man. You're doing it there on your own. You don't need Masons to help you out, man. You just stay on your path and keep doing exactly what you're doing. And with you guys too, man. Let me just say before you wrap up, it's been a blast listening to you guys on all these podcasts. And I just want to say it's been really cool what you guys have been able to pull together here. Just the general concept of getting, you know, four guys from four different backgrounds together, talking about the issues. And you all hit some pretty damn big topics. And you guys are, sometimes it's 3-on-1, sometimes it's 2-on-2, sometimes it's 0-on-4. But it's been a real real entertainment and real privilege to listen to you guys. And I wish you all the best of luck, man, going forward. Keep cranking these podcasts out. Your viewers will grow. Your subscribers will grow. And I'm telling all my friends about it. So I appreciate what you guys are doing, the time you guys are spending talking about these issues, researching these issues, and pulling these podcasts together. Best of luck to you.
Man,
appreciate it, man.
Appreciate that, man. Much love.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. All right, guys.
Yeah,
all
this right, will be doing the episode, good, man. We'll have you back on in the future.
Yeah, because I definitely got your info, Chris.
Sounds good, gentlemen. Sounds good. Wish you all best rest of your weekend.
All right, Chris.
Same to you, man. God bless you.
Best for the rest of the weekend to everybody except
that Cowboys fan. I see that Redskins flag behind you.
All right.
See you guys.
Hey, Mr. West, appreciate you, man.
All right, Chris, man. Take care.
All right, brother.
Later. All right, everybody. That's going to wrap up this week's episode of BWO. everybody. We'll see everybody next week, hopefully, for another exciting episode of BWO. You can hit us up on Facebook and also hit us up at brotherswithopinions@gmail.com. Thank you, everyone, and have a great day.